prophesying from captivity. Nebuchadnezzar has come in and taken Israel captive. And God is still speaking through him while Israel is in their 70-year captivity. And that's where we find ourselves in chapter 32. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter because it's quite long. But verse 1, the Bible says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house." Jump down to verse 16. "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers in the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day." Excuse me. "And has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm and with great terror. And has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them." Verse 26, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this land, or this city, into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that shall fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city, and burn it with the houses, upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger." We'll stop there tonight. Is there anything too hard for me? Let's pray. Lord, use your word tonight mightily in our hearts. Thank you for it. And Lord, may we be truly blessed and inspired by these great truths and changed. We love you. We commit the time to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as you can see, the Nebuchadnezzar is about to take Israel, about to destroy Jerusalem. And Nehemiah stops and prays himself. So, yes, he's prophesying, but he sets aside some time to beseech the Lord. And did you notice, he wasn't beseeching God on behalf of himself, but he was beseeching God on behalf of Israel as a nation. But before he did, he reminded God in verse 17 that he's the great creator. Nothing's too hard for him, that he's loving, that he is just, that he's great, that he's mighty, and so forth. And then he takes the time in verse 23 to confess, if you will, excuse me, their sin. It says, "They obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing at all of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused this evil to come upon them." So he's admitting, "Lord, I acknowledge why this is happening. You're the great God. You're loving God. You're mighty. You're powerful. But you're also just. And your people have disobeyed. And so this had to happen. You've been warning us. We disobeyed as a nation. And now we are suffering the consequences of that." But at the same time, he is beseeching God to be merciful, to be loving kind, and so forth. And you know, if we got what we deserved every day, where would we be? Think about it. If every day when we failed God, he executed justice upon us according to our sin, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? And that's the direction he's coming from. So the Lord then stopped and took the time to respond directly to Jeremiah. And that's the exciting passage tonight. is verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah. So Jeremiah set aside time to pray himself to God on behalf of Israel. And then the Lord himself, Jehovah, the God of the universe, stopped and answered Jeremiah directly. And God recorded it for us in his word. So what did God say here in verse 27? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? What a great answer. And an answer that we should take courage from. Now, later on in the chapter, God reminds Jeremiah that, yes, Israel is about to be punished, and they were, and they went to their 70-year captivity. But then God reminds Jeremiah as well. Remember, we saw last week, or 2 weeks ago, that God made his everlasting covenant with Israel. And that covenant primarily is referring to the kingdom. Notice later on in the chapter, verse 37, he says, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I've driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in my great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. Verse 40, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. So he then reminds Jeremiah, I'm not finished with Israel. They do have to go through this chastisement because of their disobedience, but I've made a new everlasting covenant. They will get their land one day. They will be regathered. They will get their kingdom. And I will keep my promises. So what can we take from this tonight? I think it's important that we, as God's children, understand that the God that saved us and the God that we serve is the omnipotent God, that there are no limits, and that God hears our prayers, as he heard Jeremiah's, and that it is okay to believe in God's greatness and power. In other words, it's okay to pray big. Amen? Don't be afraid to pray big, because we serve a big God. I mean, Jeremiah was praying big. He was praying on behalf of the whole nation. And God answered one man's prayer. Think about that. He was praying on behalf of thousands, if not millions of people, and God directly came down and said, Jeremiah, I hear you, and yes, I'm going to answer your prayer. Not now. It's going to happen in the future, but I will bless my people, and I will take care of them, and I will keep my promises to them. But in the midst of that, God himself spoke Jeremiah 32:27. Good verse to memorize, by the way. This is not Jeremiah writing what God prophesied. This is God speaking to Jeremiah and to us directly, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So let's break it down a little bit. First of all, I am the Lord. All caps, L-O-R-D, that means in the Hebrew, it is Jehovah. So what he's saying is, I am Jehovah. That word means the self-existent one, the eternal one. He doesn't need anyone's help. He is everything. He first revealed this name back in Exodus chapter 6. Let's turn there. Most of us are familiar with when this happened. Exodus chapter 6. Now this is God speaking to Moses here in Exodus 6, verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. So up to this point here in Exodus 6, God had never revealed his Jehovah name. Not until Moses did God even reveal this name of himself. Up to that point, he was only known as God Almighty, which is Elohim. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So up to this point, he was known as the Almighty God, the Creator, but now he's saying, I am Jehovah. I'm now revealing my self-existent name. The I am that I am name, Jehovah, the one that is everything. Go to Isaiah 26, if you would, and verse 3 and 4. Two good memory verses, by the way. We'll have some of those tonight. Isaiah 26. Look at verse 3. Most of you know verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Look at verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isn't that good? In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. God is saying, I am Jehovah. I'm the self-existent one. I have everlasting strength available to those who will seek it. And so he says, behold, to Jeremiah, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I'm the self-existent one. I revealed myself to Moses. I'm revealing myself to you. I am Jehovah. Then he goes on to say, the God of all flesh. So now he's not only revealing his self-sufficiency, his self-existence, but now he's revealing that he is sovereign. That he's not just a God who just stands back and watches. Now, that doesn't mean we take the Calvinistic position that God makes everything happen. God allows things to happen. We are sinners. We often do the wrong thing. And it is wrong for us to take the Calvinistic position that, oh, it's God's fault that I did that. That I made that wrong decision. That I committed that sin. No. God gave us a free will. Now, he allows it. And oftentimes, he won't allow it. And he'll either deal with us with chastisement or even death. So, though God is sovereign over his creation, and he is, God does not control our free will. He gave us a free will. So it's important to make that distinction. Even when we're praying, it's important to understand that distinction. Think about it. If we're praying for a physical need, then God has the power to meet that need. Amen? He's infinite. He's all-powerful. If we're praying for God to work in a person's life, that requires a change in their heart, does it not? God has the power to speak to that person, and he will, but God is not going to force them to change their mind. It's important for us to understand that. God will speak to them. God will bring circumstances into their life. God will use the Spirit of God. God will use the Word of God. God will use other children, of his children, but God is not going to reach down and grab a person's heart and say, you are going to make this decision. God left us to make those decisions on our own. So it's important that we understand that tonight. But when he says he's the God of all flesh, he is claiming his sovereignty over his creation. That he cares about his creation, that he knows everything that happens in his creation, and that nothing happens by surprise for God. Jesus even mentioned how God even knows when one bird falls. Imagine that. There's, I don't know how many people on the earth now, 7 or 8 billion people. God knows everyone by name. How many hairs are on their head? God knows it all. And so the Bible says in Psalm 135:6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in all deep places. God is sovereign. When he says the God of all flesh, it means he's in complete control of his creation and that he watches over his creation and he knows everything that's happening. So he is Jehovah, he is the Lord, he is the God of all flesh. And then the great statement, our key text tonight, is there anything too hard for me? That's what you call a rhetorical question. What does that mean? It means there's an obvious answer. It means the question isn't asked to get an answer. The question is asked to give an answer. That's what it means by rhetorical question. So when God says, is there anything too hard for me? He's not asking Jeremiah a question. Okay? He's not saying, hey, Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for me? I wanted to know. No, the answer is no. There's nothing too hard for God. So he uses this rhetorical question to get his point across that our God, that saved us from hell, can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. And this is a theme of the Scriptures. Go to Genesis 18 from beginning to end, that our God is all-powerful. The fancy theological word is omnipotent. By the way, the word omnipotent is in the Bible, so it's okay to use it. Genesis 18:14. This was after God promised Abraham that they would have a child. He said, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" Remember, Sarah was barren. She was past childbearing age. God said to Abraham they would have a child. He said, "I can do this. And at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But he says specifically, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Another rhetorical question. Now let's go to Matthew 19, where Jesus Christ takes this theme and repeats it for us as God in the flesh. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. The Bible says, "Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." This simple truth literally should guide our lives. When we go to pray, we must never question whether or not God can do something. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We must always come with the expectation that God can do anything. Because He said so. And He goes on to say for us, Philippians 4:13, "I can do what? All things. Through Christ which strengtheneth me." All things. Jesus said in John 14:14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Anything. That's Jesus speaking. So for us, we need to believe this. We need to live this. When we go to pray, we need to believe our God is an omnipotent God. There's nothing too hard for Him. Next week, we're going to look at chapter 33, verse 3, but let's look at it tonight. Another great memory verse, by the way. They just happen to be close together. Can't help it. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God is saying, call unto me, ask. Ask big. Call unto me, and I'll answer you and show thee great and mighty things. I believe that God in this passage is challenging us to ask big, because that is what faith's all about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Is it wrong to believe that God can do anything? No, it's right to believe it. And to truly believe it is to ask. Psalm 81:10, another great memory verse. Let's turn there. If you get no other verse tonight, just put this one in your quiver of verses. And don't be afraid. Just a piece of the verse, Psalm 81:10. Just the last two phrases. "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." We all have seen baby birds, have we not? If not in real life, maybe on a video or something. But we've seen they open their mouths really wide, don't they? When their mother shows up with food for the nest. And this is what God is pointing to. He's saying, be like a baby bird. You know, don't open your mouth like this. And say, "Lord, I pray you'll bless me this tiny little bit." No, open thy mouth wide. Don't be afraid to ask big. Don't be afraid to expect big worms and insects. Amen? Ask big. God is challenging us to ask big. He's saying, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? This is God speaking directly to His children, saying, I can do anything. Now, that doesn't mean we can do anything. Okay, we got to keep this straight. We can do nothing in our own strength. We're just wicked sinners. But we are children of the King. And through prayer, we can move an all-powerful God. Okay? And understand that tonight. It's not about us, it's about Him. And about believing Him. And believing that surely He can do anything. And when we ask big, it honors God. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and we'll see again this great truth that God expects us to trust and believe that He can do anything and to ask. And don't be afraid to ask big. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, isn't that good? Anything. Is there a limit when God says anything? There's not, is there? That if we ask anything, by the way, Jeremiah 32:27, is there anything too hard for me? Here it says, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He hear us whatsoever. Sorry. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, or we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That's faith. Coming to God, knowing that you're asking in His will, and knowing there's no limits. Because there's no limits with God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I believe a lot of Christians are going to get to heaven and they're going to be shocked at all the blessings they missed out on. All the power they missed out on because they didn't ask. God was just waiting for them to ask so He could just pour it out. Because that's what God does. He challenges us. He says, is there anything too hard for me? No, nothing. And so He says to Jeremiah, I hear what you're saying. I hear you praying on behalf of God's people. And they have to be punished. But let me tell you this, Jeremiah. That covenant that I made with them, I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to bless them more than they've ever been blessed. I'm going to give them all the land I promised. They've never been there yet. I'm going to give them all the blessings. They're going to live in the land of milk and honey. I'm going to give them a new heart. I'm going to give them their own kingdom. I'm going to be a king over them. They're going to be the most blessed nation on earth for 1,000 years. I'm going to do all that for Israel. They're still waiting for it, but it will happen. And God is saying, here's my omnipotence. And based on that, I am going to keep this promise. Because it's an unconditional promise. This covenant that I've made with my children. Well, you know what? He made a promise to us. Many promises, of course. He's going to come back and get us. I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's going to watch over us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But He also said that if we'll ask, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I believe God wants us to believe in His omnipotence. And the only way that we can truly show that we believe in His omnipotence is to ask. It's one thing to sit back and say, yep, my God's an all-powerful God, but I know He's too busy, so I'm not going to ask Him. Or you can take the Calvinistic approach, and I'm just such a wicked worm of a sinner that I would never want to bother God with my prayer request. I'm just thankful He chose me to be one of the chosen ones, and I get to go to heaven. But I wouldn't want to bother God with anything big. You don't find that in Scripture at all. Instead, you find God challenging us to ask, to believe, and to watch Him work miracles. So tonight, take God's rhetorical question seriously. Take it on board for yourself and open thy mouth wide. Don't be afraid. It only brings Him honor and glory when we do. Is there anything too hard for me? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you.